Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. You know, we are a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. You know, in today's episode, Stephen and I are going to explore the profound concept of oneness, touching on its dimensions of belonging, connection, unity, and intimacy. We discuss how oneness is essential in relationships with family, spouses, and God, emphasizing the importance of vulnerability and mutual understanding. We highlight the very real challenges and rewards of pursuing true oneness. It isn't like flipping a switch and you'll automatically achieve oneness. Oneness is actually a journey of growth and self-discovery. We invite you to reflect on your own relationships and seek deeper connections in your life. I promise you it's a mission that is worth the journey. To get daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, visit bebroken.org or check out all the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And as always, friends, I'm going to invite you to rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now, let's dive into today's important and insightful conversation on oneness. Well, all righty, Dr. Stephen Cervantes, how are you doing today?
I am blessed and glad to be here, Jonathan.
Yeah, so we're going to, in this episode, try to tackle a big topic that, from the very outset, listeners and viewers, we want you to know we are not going to be able to provide you the definitive answer on this, because even the scriptures say that there's a mystery to this. And that topic is oneness.
Oneness. Not two-ness or three-ness or four-ness. Oneness.
So we want to be, we're gonna go on a journey of learning oneness. Like, how do we learn that?
I think as people, we're made for connection.
Right.
And we know that, and we enjoy connection. We like visiting each other and playing on teams and
we want to belong, right? We want to belong to a group or belong
to. So that's a part of it. I'm going to write that word. Belonging and connecting is another word. And we're made for connection, but we've talked before, some people are disconnectors or some people are loners or people don't know how to engage well and hold the bond of oneness. And so it's a bit of a mystery, but we can grab at different parts of it and try to explain it. Because I think oneness is a big life question. Mm-hmm. Because it has this good word, belonging. You know, where do we belong ultimately? What are we a part of? What are we made to be a part of? So when I think about oneness, I think being one with myself versus being divided and splintered and the ugly half and the good half and the outside me and the inside me. I see oneness applying to my spouse and two becoming one. And then there are children that I'm still supposed to be training and raising up. And how can you live in harmony with children and family members? Mm-hmm. And then being one with God. Maybe I should have put God at the top, but it's the list, okay, of areas where oneness works or it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, and I think, not to get too hung up on the order with you put things, but I think the order that you put things in is typically the order that we experience life,
okay,
right? Oh, I mean, when you're a kid, I mean, you're just trying to learn. I mean, one of the things I loved about when my kids were, especially when they were infants, is when they would actually discover that their hands and feet were attached to them. Like they started to have a self-awareness of like, I'm making those fingers move and that kind of stuff. And then obviously as you grow, then there's a sense and you want to get into a relationship with a spouse and then kids come from that. And I think through all of that, then we start to discover what is the bigger question about God. So I don't think it was a wrong order or anything because we come, I think, through our experiences in family to then come to an understanding of God.
So who is the role model connector of oneness? It's Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I like the woman at the well story.
Oh, man, yeah.
That just, He knew her. He knew all about her. He told her about herself. And she was a Samaritan. He was a Jew. And she had water and he didn't. And just a great story where this woman felt, and she'd had several husbands and she was in a bad relationship and she was longing for love. He shows up.
Yeah.
And there's this wonderful sense of oneness between two people that don't know each other.
That shouldn't even be in that culture connecting with each other.
And I mean, you can just see this woman soften and feel a sense of love and belonging and connection and oneness.
And then become so bold that she didn't even care about her reputation. She went and told everybody about this great connector, this one who brought unity where it had never been before.
Let's add that word to our list, belonging, unity, connection. We're trying to define oneness and what are the pieces. Do you have a Bible verse that comes to mind or story about that shows a good connection?
Well, honestly, I spend so much of my time in just the first three chapters of Genesis. Just the idea of even the very first bringing of oneness that God did with Adam and Eve.
Oh.
The idea of, hey, here's Adam as a single man. And God says, this isn't a good perpetual state for you to be in. It's not good for you to be alone.
Oh, right.
There needs to be a connection that you have, and he brings Eve. So for me, that's a big, you know, said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and unite to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Yeah. So there's a oneness there.
So I love the fact that nobody that we know are experts on oneness, but that everybody is trying to describe it and understand it and participate in this great story of belonging and connection. And it's one thing to know the facts, but it's another thing to be connected, to be one with.
And when think about it, even if we've never used that terminology, think about how every single human being is hardwired with this desire.
Yeah.
And it becomes most prominent when we find ourselves divided or isolated or alone or disconnected.
Yes.
That, you know, if this wasn't an issue, if this wasn't one of those big life questions about, you know, we're made to belong, we're made for oneness, then we wouldn't have any problem being totally isolated, alone, disconnected.
Because we would be always connected.
No, because we would be like, this isn't a big issue. Oneness doesn't matter. And yet the fact that when we are alone, when we are disconnected, we can't perpetually stay in those states without it becoming so uncomfortable.
Mm.
That it's God has put it into our very being that we are made for belonging, we're made for connection.
So why am I so curious about oneness, belonging, connection, unity? It's because my mom and dad loved me, and I loved them, but I don't think they had a good connection. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of love, and they had a lot of sacrifice, and there was a lot of giving. But it was like they were two different people living in a household that didn't make a good connection. And I thought, why? Well, what is so hard about this? Well, as you listen to other podcasts, you understand there's a little— there are disconnectors and connectors, and, you know, there are people that use good language and don't. There's a bunch of reason. But I knew relationships could be better.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had a good relationship, good relationship. But it's like oneness and belonging and sharing and intimacy and those things. I just knew I wanted a better picture, and I'm sort of been on this mission to understand we're students. We don't get it. We're supposed to be it, mm-hmm. be one. So I didn't see it. I knew I was loved, but this reaching for me, this connecting, this knowing my soul thing, feeling safe and walking closely with.
So that brings up another word for me, is because I hear as you're saying that you didn't necessarily have modeled for you. What does intimacy look like?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about sex here. We're talking about an intimate connection, because it goes beyond. I think for me too, a lot of my experience in my family growing up was, and sometimes the way I describe it is, we knew how to intellectually love one another. And it was real. It was true. It wasn't like it was phony or fake, but it was like, you're getting down into the soul area. Like, this idea of oneness, I think, goes beyond two people sort of just being locked arm to arm and kind of going through life and saying, we got the same mission.
Yes.
No, it's like, you're saying, this is almost like heart to heart.
Ooh,
there is a connection that's going on
good.
There.
Yeah.
Because when you're talking about one with yourself, one with your spouse, one with your kids, one with God, that is not merely we are traveling through life together.
Yeah.
We are intimately bonded in life together. And that's
so
that
belonging, unity, connection. We are students of intimacy and heart-to-heart connection.
Yeah.
Those are the words we're using right now as you and I try to look at this issue, mission, direction, and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not often discussed.
Yeah, no, I don't think we unpack this a lot.
Yeah.
Usually it's only associated with that verse that I brought up about to be becoming one flesh, and it's almost always only talked about in terms of the marriage relationship.
Yeah.
And we're talking about oneness as a bigger concept, because oneness goes to the very heart of God himself, right?
Right, and we're told one
Father,
body,
Son, and Spirit.
One Spirit, one church, one, yes. So as a child, I wanted more attention. And as an adult, I want attention.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be seen and heard and recognized. And I want to be greeted with love. Hey, how's it going?
It's like I remember the old
Jonathan,
show Cheers,
how
right?
How are you?
Norm! You know,
oh,
he'd walk
my
in.
Goodness. And now you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Exactly, yeah.
And problems are all the same. Well, how does it go? I can't remember all that. Yeah. You want to go where everybody knows your name, and problems are all the same. And you want to go where they know your name. Something like there was a song. Somebody out there is reciting it right now. Can you hear?
Somebody over 45 is reciting it.
See me, know me, be glad, embrace me.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is an aspect of attention, right? Being the focus of attention so that I can't be one with this microphone.
Right.
I can't be one with that lamp or that camera or that poster.
That's another important aspect of this. You know, God says that he was going to make human beings in his likeness, in his image. There has to be a likeness, meaning this is a human to human thing that we're talking about. In other words, we have essentially as human beings, Stephen, the same makeup of body, soul, and spirit, right? And we are made in the image of God. I cannot have oneness with my dog. Sorry, all of you
dog
lovers and
you.
Pet lovers and everything.
Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa.
No, I'm not saying you can't, there's not a, you
a
know.
Bond and love.
Yeah. But the reality is you and I have to be able to converse. We got to be able to connect. We've got to be able to, there's communion that's happening there.
Ooh, that's another good word. And it starts with how well do I greet you? And see you and rest with you and enjoy you and commune with you.
Mm-hmm.
So now we understand this oneness thing is a big principle with different pieces. And it's like you know it when you get there. Because have you ever felt like so connected and so bonded? And you know, whether it's a spiritual moment with God where you go, man, I am in his presence right now. Or so loved by your spouse to go, this is like a sacred moment right here. This doesn't happen anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
This is oneness. So I was talking to a guy. I said, hey, what do you think about oneness? And have you ever read about or thought about it? You want to talk about oneness? He said, wait, well, this is way too stressful. Can we find something easier to talk about? And I just chuckled because he's right. You know, we're grabbing at different parts and saying it's a piece of communion and
you know what?
Attending to
one. I think that's another little evidence there of how big of a life question this is.
Mm.
Because there is a mystery to it. Because, listen, if anybody, listeners out there, if anybody tells you that they can give you a definitive explanation of the Trinity, just run away. It's a mystery. Three in one. There's a mystery to this. And yet, guess what? We are made by God, for God, and for one another. So there's a sense in which this is huge. This is one of the central issues of life, is this idea of we are to be one with God. We are to know how to connect with one another. And so it's kind of like, okay, is it stressful? Is it a difficult conversation to have? Absolutely. But it's worthy to have because of how big it is to the essence of life. Stephen,
it's a central issue of your life to practice oneness.
I would almost say it this way. This is one of those things that maybe it's the reason why many of us live fractured, purposeless, empty lives is because we have not grasped what it means, what oneness means with God, with spouse, with kids, with other, you know.
You're sounding profound. Think about what you're saying, because it's like alone, detached, playing this little side game with myself over here.
Yeah. And so I think you're onto something here of like, well, yeah, this guy's saying, well, that's too big. That's too stressful. And that's the point. It is big. And it's so big that if you miss it, you might miss a lot of what life is all about. Maybe what life is all about, you know?
Wow. He's sounding pretty profound and wise today. That's good, because I hadn't thought about it in this grand conceptual manner that it is the ultimate mystery. Oneness is the ultimate mystery that God put in there for us to go and pull apart and look at and turn over and try on and, you know, just this whole thing. But look, living as a loner and living detached and taking care of me and me first is hardwired into me since two. Okay? So my brain has these habits and these ruts and these routines and these things I like and what pleasures me and what brings me joy and a whole lot of me. And when you say words like communion and attention and the central issue of life, to be in the image of God, belonging with unity, boy, it makes my little personal program of coping and surviving over here sound kind of small, but it's what I know.
Yeah. And that's just it. That's the key right there. It's familiar, right?
Yeah.
And so many times we will prefer what's familiar even over what is actually best for us. I mean, I've done that 1,000 times in my life, Stephen. I mean, you know, I might know, hey, you know, right now it would be better for me to engage this conversation with my wife about something that I know is difficult and I know it's going to be stressful and it's going to be challenging. But I kind of prefer to be alone. I kind of prefer to be quiet instead of going, well, that's just because that's what's familiar.
Right.
What's the good thing? Like oneness is what I need to be pressing towards. And maybe that's another one of these bigger, maybe one of those bigger questions to ask ourselves when we find ourselves coming up against something that is challenging our familiar bent.
Yeah.
Is ask ourselves, does this maybe have something to do with oneness, with community, belonging, connection?
Oh, wow.
Is like, am I preferring to be kind of in my isolated place, or is God challenging me to come into a place where I can belong and have community and connection?
And I think that happens all day long.
He's inviting us in.
Now I'm still back on, which do you pick, the ice cream or the carrots? When you said, what do you want? I want the ice cream.
Of course, yeah.
The carrots? Oh, gosh. So I've been playing with this idea of myself being made up of, like a puzzle of pieces. And I used to think it was a lot. The number is getting smaller. I'm almost thinking like we're 50 big pieces. Mm-hmm. We're not 1,000, right? We have one story. We have some trauma. We have one set of parents. We have this skill set. We're weak at that. You know what I mean? And maybe even 50 is too many, but we know 50 things and our spouse knows 37 of those because there's other stuff in childhood. We haven't told everything to everybody, you know? And so we know a lot of things, and that helps with connection and community when you tell a story and when I tell a story. And that's a little part of bonding and unity is the stories we tell.
Well, and even thinking about, you know, when you mentioned 50 pieces, I mean, I have to admit, I may only know 40 of my pieces because there's parts of me that either based on trauma or just not being able to recall or whatever, there's things of my own story that I don't know. I mean, for me, so much of my story before I was 10 years old, I can't remember. I can't recall a lot of that. And so some of this, as I think about even the oneness that we are to have with God, some of this journey, Stephen, is even the Spirit of God showing me some of those pieces that I need to know about in my own story.
Ooh, that's good.
And the thing that I see in this is in order for my spouse or someone else to have the fullest picture of me in order for us to experience intimacy and oneness and belonging is, well, they need to see more of those pieces.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Can they get a full picture of me if they only have 30 pieces? No. They have some of the picture, right?
Right.
They might have the half, this half of my face. But in order to get the full picture, there's got to be more sharing about those pieces.
And it's so interesting because I think over time, as a union gets safer, you can tell deeper things.
Yeah.
To a spouse that you know they're committed, they love you, and they're not going to leave. Mm-hmm. And they go, well, that's goofy. But okay, that's not you. I know the you now because that's one of the pieces, the old you and the new you.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the pieces. But if I ask someone about themselves and they block me, I'm trying to enjoy unity and oneness and bonding, and some people don't want to be known. They're scared. If you start scratching on the surface, you might break through and you might see stuff in there. So they make sure you stay way outside.
Yeah.
So that's an issue with oneness.
Absolutely, because it's there. That's another aspect, I think, of oneness is that there's got to be a mutuality to it, right?
Yes.
So even though God has been so faithful to reveal himself to us in Christ— He absolutely already knows all the pieces of our lives.
Mm.
For us to have oneness with him, I think of the story in Revelation 3 where it says, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Do you know he was knocking on a church door? These are Christians on the inside.
Mm.
And he's saying, you got a door closed off. So there's a sense, even though he knows everything, for that intimacy, he's not going to break down the door. You have to be voluntary. You have to voluntarily open yourself up. You just have to say, I invite you into these places of my life.
That's good. I've heard this said, well, I have to go find myself. And then I think, well, when did you lose yourself? You know, what happened?
Yeah.
And because it's sort of a dumb statement. What do you mean find yourself? You already know 1,000 things about yourself. You know 10,000 things about yourself. What do you got to find? I don't get it. You know. Anyway, that's just me going, sometimes when you're trying to explore someone, they'll say things like, well, I have to go find my, I have to go to find me somewhere else. I can't be here with you and discover that. I mean, it's just verbal chaos that we hear that goes, well, that's a separation issue. That's not a unity bonding thing.
Right, yeah.
And then I think, you know, you can talk to some people all day long. I have a relative like this. He'll tell one story, a fishing story after a fishing story. Then he'll tell hunting stories. And then he'll tell boating stories. I mean, he could go 8 or 10 hours if you don't interrupt him. I mean, it's like I don't feel like I learn very much.
Mm-hmm.
I hear stories. I'm entertained. But then there are the people that that don't even know. You're not saying, you're not talking about life. You're talking about activities you did.
Right, yeah.
But if you don't have the emotional component of growth and insight and learning and struggle and fall down and get up, you're just entertaining a person. You're not bonding to them.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah. I think that's, again, that gets back to that mutuality, right? We talk about this too in the intensive workshop about when we're communicating, in order for us to actually connect, we have to connect at the same level of vulnerability. In other words, if you're just telling boating stories all day long, and all of a sudden I say to you, Stephen, man, I'm really struggling with porn, and I masturbated last Thursday looking at porn. If you don't meet me with some level of vulnerable empathy or understanding, or, you know, maybe even share a little bit of your own story, and you just keep going on with the boating story, we haven't connected.
You're right. Well, there's a disconnect there. Yeah. And we're not going to bond.
Right.
We're not going to be participating in unity and oneness. We're going to live with this detachment. And then you think about people who've lived a lifetime of being criticized and how closed off a person can be to protect themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Or how they can become a critic because they knew it so well. You know, so you have a closed off person. Then you have a person that's talking, but man, it's hard to talk to some people if they're critical. Critical about this, critical about that. I mean, it's coming around. You're going to be the subject of it sooner or later. You know, so that.
Yeah, both makes are ways connection. Of keeping people at arm's length. You know, you're not going to get close to that.
Yeah.
To the critic.
So. Some people are sensitive. They don't want to hear a lot of complaining and whining. You know, we're made for a love story. And that's what oneness really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a love story of unity and bonding and growing in self-awareness. It's so interesting because in the love story, I'm going to read all the words, mutuality in the love story, a sense of learning about ourselves in the story, being students of belonging and unity and attending to one another, communing with one another, intimately connecting heart to heart.
Right, exactly.
So you talk a minute while I read.
Well, and in that note, one of the things too is, you know, we just came off talking about the critic, either being criticized or being a critic. Right. And in that love story, what's happening? You're going to share honestly with each other, but it's not, you're not criticizing, you're not judging, you know. It's more of there's a back and forth of, you know, we talk about in the scripture, speak the truth in love, right? So all those aspects of bonding and communing and intimacy and all of that is done in a way that is rooted in love, not in I want to one up you or I want to put you down. I want to tear you apart. No, it's like, it's because I love you that I want to deepen the connection, right? And that's huge in that love story.
In practice, that's it. And the love story is about oneness.
Yeah.
Right? We want to love one another, but ultimately we want to become one, right? So safe, because that mimics Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And here's the thing. I think I like the way we started the whole conversation about this is a mystery. Yeah. We're not going to have the definitive answer. And the further we're getting into this conversation, I'm realizing we need to couch this in journey language.
Because
think about it, even what you were saying there about the love story. Well, that story has so many chapters yet unwritten. And so if we keep going on that journey— Listen, in this lifetime, we're never going to get to the final understanding or even the final experience of oneness. That's heaven, right?
Well, and I think, yes, but I think about you and your wife when you were 30 and when you were 40, right? And you think about as we mature and understand oneness, it gets deeper.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm saying is let's be careful of making it a notion like I will reach the destination of oneness
right.
in this lifetime. It's like, no, keep the journey mentality.
Yes,
we keep exploring, we keep learning, we keep growing.
And
pursuing.
Yes, and the journey over a lifetime, and that's why I'm saying when you're 30 and then when you're 40 and then in your 50s, we're not the same people.
No.
And so the oneness gets deeper, the communion gets deeper and better. And we create a sense of a safe place, because that's the other thing we have to add to this list. It has to be a safe place.
Absolutely.
So that it's restful and peaceful and safe, and I belong here. But that's the God story.
Yeah.
But that's the marriage story. No. That's the God story. No, that's the story of the bride and the groom. And you hear the oneness in these stories.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why that picture of marriage is God's favorite picture that he created to give us a way of understanding the relationship we're to have with him.
Yes.
Times like a billion, people, because of our ministry and the fact that we're dealing with sexual brokenness, so many that we deal with, they've come to a place of believing that sex is like the ultimate. And the reality is compared to the oneness that we have through Christ with God, it's like we can't even conceive of how much grander that ultimate experience in heaven will be. That's why there's no marriage in heaven. Like, no more need for sex. Like, it's a billion times better than anything we could conceive in the oneness between a man and a woman. So again, this comes full circle back to, this is a really central issue in life, this idea of oneness.
Amen.
So it's not something to just be taken casually. So we hope that this conversation has stirred a lot of thoughts in you. I'd encourage you to go to drmarriage.org to keep getting daily thoughts that are like this, that might help you in your own marriage and pursuing oneness.
Amen.
And continuing to grow in that. And, of course, we want to invite you back here next time for the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. Take care.
Thank you. God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.